It's a Bud Light Football Friday. Bud Light, official beer of the Denver Broncos. Here's former Denver Bronco Nick Ferguson and 104.3TheFan.com Cecil Lammy.
All right, little Will Smith to bring in our guy. He is Nate Jackson. 104.3 The Fan's Nate Jackson joins us, presented by the Dadvocates. All right, Nate, your favorite kind of Halloween hip-hop to listen to?
Ghetto Boys, man.
See, John Davis Boys. Said the same thing, man. He said Ghetto Boys had a little darkness to him.
Yeah, my mind's playing tricks on me.
Yeah, sure. Exactly, dude.
There you go.
Yeah, you don't know Ghetto Boys? Yeah, Bushwick Bill, man. He's a legend.
R.I.P.
Check that out, dude.
R.I.P.
Yeah, yeah. What are some other, Bone Thugs and Harmony is good stuff. If you remember, they were into the kind of the whole, the Death Pack thing, East 1999 Eternal. They played with the Ouija board a lot. They talked backwards and the deep voice and stuff. So that would be a good spooky, Halloween hip hop.
Yeah. Bone Thugs would talk backwards and you wouldn't know because you couldn't get
it.
When they talk forwards, they go too fast. So, yeah.
Dude.
Little Anybody Killer. How about that? We could keep.
I don't know that. I don't know Anybody Killer.
Okay. All right. Well, now we've got something to check out. Nate, let's talk about this game with the Chargers. Does Drew Lock, in fact, need to get two wins, meaning win the game, but also look better than Justin Herbert?
You know, I think we got to resist the temptation to compare him to Justin Herbert. I know that's been a popular thing, and I know it's going to probably happen. But the guy, they're different quarterbacks. We got who we got. What I want to see from Drew Lock is him just improve on last week's performance. You know, if for some reason, and he admitted this, he talked about this in his interview. He said he wasn't making the baby Pop Warner throws that he used to make when he was a kid. And the fact that he can't make those baby Pop Warner throws against, you know, at the biggest stage in the NFL against the Super Bowl champions, it's a big game, you know, and he can't make the little throws. I think that's what we got to worry about. Why is his head messed up? Let's get his head back on the right track. Don't try to beat the world. You're one guy on this team. Do your job. You know, that's what I want to see from Drew Lock.
But, Nate, but doesn't that have a lot to do with Drew Lock himself and not Pat Shurmur? Because after the Kansas City game, there are a lot of people in our business that came after Pat Shurmur. So why is it that individuals trying to lay that same type of responsibility, notice I didn't say blame, but the same type of responsibility on Drew Lock as they're doing with Pat Shurmur?
Well, I think people are putting some blame on Drew Lock for sure. But yeah, I think Pat Shurmur, you know, he's in charge. He's the guy who's overseeing the operation, and he's the one who's calling the plays. And you know, you look back at the game, and there certainly were a few head scratchers. But hey, every coach has a few head scratchers in a game. You know, it's after a loss when you pick it apart. And if it was executed correctly, everyone calls that flea flicker an amazing play. Wow, what a call! 60-yard touchdown. You know,
right?
But it ended up being like the ugliest football play you've ever seen. So there's some kind of dissonance to me with this offense. It's not necessarily it's on Drew Lock or it's bad play calling. Well, why is the offense always not prepared for these games, but the defense is? Like, where's the imbalance on the team, the lopsided nature of a team? Nick, do you ever remember being on a team where the defense was really, really good and the offense just sucked, was bottom of the barrel?
Yeah, when I was in the CFL, for sure.
Right, CFL, but not in the NFL, right?
No, not in the league.
Yeah, so there's always, like, the teams I was on, the standard was the same: offense, defense, and special teams. We were a good team, or we weren't, but we were a good team because we were consistent all across the board. And so when this team comes out and their offense just looks like they're just not ready to play for whatever reason, but the defense is just balling, I just think about what's going on during the week that's creating that reality. You know what I mean? And I can't figure it out.
Well, Nate, you bring up a great point, so I'm going to ask you a very pointed question, and I think your answer is going to be very telling. And this is a great point. Why does the offense look like trash and the defense balling out? Is it because Vic Fangio doesn't spend enough time with the offense, maybe doesn't care enough about the offense, and he's even admitted, even this week in his press conferences, about how he'll check in with Pat Shurmur and check on the game plan, but we all know he almost cheers in training camp. You've been out there. We've all been out there. Vic Fangio, yeah. The defense has a great day. Vic Fangio's cheesing, right? He's like Eric Studisville. He's just smiling left and right. He's loving it. If the defense has a bad day, Vic Fangio's pissed. So is part of the reason why the offense maybe needs to pick it up is because their head coach isn't really interested in the offense?
Yeah, you know, I think you might be onto something there. It's hard to tell what Vic does during the course of the week. Like, is he in the defensive meeting rooms all day? Is he installing the defense? Is he in his office? But I doubt, like you said, that he spends any time with the offense. And maybe he needs to go sit in those rooms and be a part of that discussion because, yeah, I mean, he's a defensive guy. This is his team now. Of course, his defense is going to be the thing on his new team. But, yeah, the offense needs more attention, man. This defense is the highest paid defense in the league, right, guys?
Yeah.
They are the highest. Go ahead. I'm sorry, Nate.
Yeah. Oh, no. I was just saying I do think that has something to do with it. And, you know, a team often takes on the identity of its head coach, and it really has here, and he hasn't really seemed like he's been interested in kind of balancing that out.
Now, Nate, you and I both cut our teeth in this league playing special team. And over the past two seasons, this is a group that hasn't really looked, you know, that great. They give up 102-yard kickoff return against the Kansas City Chiefs. What can the Broncos special teams do to better make life easier for that of Drew Lock?
Well, yeah, they got to play better, man, all across the board. Actually, all of their special teams are, again, towards the bottom of the league, the bottom third. The only special teams that they are excelling in is, of course, you know, Brandon McManus is having a great year, but also punt return, because they've had one long punt return, like a 42-yard return, and that'll help your average, but they're towards the top third of the league in punt return. So, ironically, the Chargers are kind of bad on punt coverage, so there is an opportunity there for maybe them to break one on punt return. But to me, special teams, man, it's about desire, really. It's about attitude, right? I mean, you have the personnel. Every football team has these really great football players who aren't starters, who are really athletic and really hungry. So you have to put them in the right position and motivate them enough to go down there and make a play, or to study enough to know their assignments and have the integrity to stay in their lanes on kickoff and know who to block on punt and how to cover that punt. And it just seems as if they're a little confused out there. Now, I do attribute some of that to a lack of offseason and no preseason games. Like, these coaches are just now finding out who their dogs are, you know? Who are these guys that we need where in special teams? Because they never really got to take any live bullets before game one. So I'm not cutting them some slack there. I think everyone's on the level playing field in the league, and the Broncos are towards the bottom, but I just think it's effort and attitude.
So I'm trying to think of ghetto boys that I can actually quote on the air, and so I'm thinking, okay, damn, it feels good to be a gangster, right? I guess I could say a little bit of that. So Nate Jackson, 104 through the fans, Nate Jackson joins us, presented by Dadvocates. Final one for you from me. Favorite Halloween movie? Do you like the super scary, like the devil movies, like Exorcist? Do you like Scream or any of the Freddy Krueger movie kind of go-to scary movie?
Yeah, I'm more Freddy Krueger and Jason Voorhees kind of guy. I was a Friday the 13th guy growing up, so that's scary to me. Just the walking after these people.
Wait, 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 wait. Hold on, Nate. I don't remember that being part of the movie. You just kind of put that in.
Yeah, heavy breathing. No, dude, Jason Voorhees was always breathing like.
What kind of bootleg Jason Voorhees movie did you watch? Because I don't remember that. I remember
that.
All
of them, man.
No, it's not.
It's the breathing. No, it's breathing. Seriously.
What?
Oh, yeah, he's breathing. That too. He's a heavy breathing murderer.
He sounds like both he and Darth Vader are just kind of asthmatic then.
That's what it is, man. He always idolized Darth Vader, that Jason Voorhees. Posters everywhere in his room.
Well, Nate, before we let you get out of here, let's talk about the tight end position. Now, Okwuegbunam was a guy that Drew Lock was trying to feature in the Patriots game. They got him a couple of passes last week against Kansas City. You look at Noah Fant running wide open and not receiving as many targets as though he should. If you are Noah Fant, Do you look back at this game and you're upset with Drew? And if so, what are you saying to him to get you prepared for this game on Sunday?
No, I wouldn't be upset with Drew. I mean, I think Noah Fant's got his own battles that he's working through, which is his own health and, you know, establishing himself as a leader in the locker room. He took an interview and he was talking about, you know, getting yelled at by the defense and how the offense has to step it up. So although I'm sure he would like to have more catches last week, statistically it wasn't an awesome week for him, but he did get a few more targets. I mean, Drew Locke looked his way a lot, but he just couldn't get it to him. And it was part of what you guys were talking about. His footwork was bad. He was falling away from a lot of these throws, and he missed a few to Noah Fant. But I think, like, if you're Noah Fant, absolutely, you're looking at Albert Okwuegbunam and thinking, I better pick it up because this guy's really, really good, and Drew Locke really likes throwing to him. So I think these guys are going to challenge each other to get better. I just, you know, want them to get better as blockers as well so those guys can be the guys. You know, right now they're doing a tight end room where they got Nick Vinette, who's a great athlete too, but they're rotating those guys, and Nick Vinette's more of the blocker. So if you want a running play to produce yards, you got to think in your mind, I need Nick Vinette in there. I don't want coaches to have to think that. It'd be great if they could think, yeah, let's get Noah and Albert in there for this run play, and then we'll run play action and score, you know, hit our heads on the goalpost. I think that's a couple years away for those guys, but ultimately that's where they'll get.
That's where we hope they get for sure. He is Nate Jackson, 104.3 The Fan's Nate Jackson, presented by the Dadvocates. Nate, be good. Happy Halloween, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right, boys. Be careful out there.
There we have him. Nate Jackson on that Fireball VIP line.